Start reading in verse 15. Should be easy to find. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I should give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid for an handmaid. Verse 25, and it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee also for the service which thou shalt give unto me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid to her maid. In verse 30, and he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the songs that's been sung. God, I pray, Lord, that Lord, we can present what you gave to me, Lord, to your people, God, that we can take away something from tonight, Lord. Help us be closer to you, God, Lord. Just let us see your love and how good you truly are. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now to back up a little bit, just to give you a recap of what's going on so far. Jacob and Esau, they were twins. Jacob, he was born second, so Esau had the birthright. You know, in Bible times, the firstborn, he got more of the inheritance, the birthright, than the younger son. And Jacob, he tricked his dad Isaac into giving him the birthright. He put on the Esau's garments. He went out and got his mom actually got a lamb, if you will, and prepared it and gave it to Jacob to take him to his daddy to make him think it was Esau. So here we are now, and Jacob has had to run. He's had to get away because it tells us in the Bible in Genesis 27:41 that Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother. So he's about to be killed, so he's got to get away. So he's running for safety when we first pick up this story right here. But we find out that he's searching for something. The Bible tells us in Genesis 28, verses 1 and 2, and Isaac called Jacob. Now, this is after he's stolen the birthright from Esau, and Esau's ticked off. He called Jacob, and he blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's house. So he's looking for something. This man, he's left behind everything he knows. Now, from reading, we know that it took him a little bit of time to get there because between time he leaves and where we pick up and he sees Rachel and he thinks she's beautiful and all these things, a lot has happened. He's wrestled with God. The Lord's wrestling. He went up. He's wrestled with God. So we come to this part, and he's searching for something. He's left behind everything he's known. He's the ultimate mama's boy, but now something's missing in his life. He's lonely. He needs something to fulfill this desire that he has. So let's think about this. Do you remember when you finally realized that something was missing in your life? You know, a lot of us, we've been saved for a long time, some not so long, but you know, there was a time when we were living in darkness and we didn't have any hope. But Psalm 55:16 says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Even in morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." David said in Psalm 63, "O Lord, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." So here he is. He's searching for something. He's walked up. He's coming up to where Laban's country is. He asked the people. He said, "Do you know Laban?" They said, "Yeah, there comes his daughter Rachel right there." He sees Rachel and he's like, "Wow, she's beautiful." He can tell from afar that she's beautiful. He talks to her. She takes him home. And that's where our story is right now. She takes him home. So he's found what he's looking for. But then he's got to work for it. You know, we all remember, us guys, we remember when we first saw our wives, our girlfriends at the time, and how beautiful they are. I remember when Dusty and I first started dating, I thought she was the most beautiful thing in the world. And I still think that. I told her the other night, I said, "You're just getting more and more pretty." I told her that the other night. And she really is. I'm not making it up just because she's back there. But anyway, I remember when I was working at Valo and we started dating, and, you know, the old Valo, not the ritzy one down there at the Walmart, Big Lots. I worked at the old one. And she'd come in that side door to come see me. And I thought, "Wow, she's just so pretty." But anyhow, I digress. I had found what I was searching for. But, you know, I worked to get her to like me because I'm thinking, "Shut up, Gavin." I had to work. I had to work to get her to like me because, you know, I really married up. Hush, Taylor. I really married up, and everybody tells me that. They said, "Boy, you really married up." And that's what's happened to Jacob here. He really increased. He really married up. But I had to work for it. With that, you know, I remember, you know, we would talk on the phone and all hours of the night. And she's not mad about this. You know, that's when we didn't have cell phones. We had, Brian, we didn't have cell phones. We had to talk on the house phone. And, you know, it was cordless at least. And I would talk to her. And all of a sudden, I would notice that she wasn't saying anything. She was asleep, and I would hang up. It wasn't but a few seconds. She'd call back, and I'd have to call her all hours of the night. We just talked and talked and talked. But, you know, I was working for it. You know, I was working to make sure that she knew that I was the one for her. And I couldn't wait to see her, you know. And it's still like that. You know, if she worked late today, this is the first time really I'm seeing her today. Because, you know, when you're up in the morning, you're running around, you know, you're not really seeing anybody. So she didn't get home. She came straight from work to church. So I was glad to see her walk in because, you know, I miss her when I don't see her. I had to work for that. So Jacob, he works for it. The Bible says that he worked for it, and it only seemed for a few days, those 7 years. I was thinking about that as I was reading that this week. I said, "Wow, he was working, and it only seemed for a few days because he knew what his reward would be." He realized when he saw her around the plantation, farm, whatever it was, he would see her. He'd be out working, doing whatever he had to do, and he'd see her walk by, and he thought, "Wow, she's pretty. She's going to be mine in 7 years. You know, I got thinking about it, you know. Wonder if that's how Jesus felt about us, you know, as he was on the cross, and, you know, that was a horrible pain that he went through. But, you know, it probably, knowing that it was going to be for us, for Skip, for Jackie, he probably thought, "Wow, I'm going to do it for them." So, you know, the pain probably, it subsided some. But he's working. He's doing what he's got to do to get his lady. Then there was a sacrifice. His 7 years ended, and he got Rachel. Nope. The Bible says that Laban snuck in Leah on him. And the Bible said that Leah was tender-eyed. That's just the Bible's way of saying in a nice way that she was ugly. Can't help it. That's really what it says. She was not pleasant to look at. Now, you know, that's funny, but side note, I'll digress for a minute. Before Charlie was born, you know, everybody knows Charlie's story, half a heart, And you know, she's doing great now, praise the Lord. Side note on that, you know, 10 years ago about this time, we were getting ready to go to the hospital for the trial of our life. And we thought we was going to come right back home with her, but we ended up being in the hospital for months on end. She was on the heart transplant list. But when Charlie was born, right before Charlie was born, like a week or two before she was born, a preacher preached on this sermon, and he talked about how that he wanted Rachel, but he got Leah. And what you don't do when you wake up and there's Leah. But, you know, God turned out all to a blessing. I could have spoke on that tonight. A few weeks ago or a few months ago, I talked to the teens, and we talked about this passage, and we talked about setting goals, and they set goals for the year. But here we are, and I got to get back on track because I got sidetracked with that. I thought about that. Oh, but for a few days. You know, wonder if that's how God, Jesus, felt about us. But for a few days, that's all it was for him. I wondered if Jesus felt that on the cross. You know, this pain's only going to be for a little bit. I'm doing it for the whole entire world. But we got here only for a few days. He served Laban 7 years, and he didn't get Rachel. He got Leah. So the ultimate trickster got tricked by Laban. And Laban said, I tell you what, you serve me for just fulfill her week and serve me another 7 years, and I'll give you Rachel. Well, he did that. He did the right thing. You know, he was also Leah's husband, and then he wanted Rachel still. You know, we don't do that anymore. My man wants more than one wife. I love my wife, but I do not know. But anyway, I digress so I don't get in trouble. So he served another 7 years. He did get Rachel then. Rachel was his. But then it came time for him and Laban to split their ways. Did he get to go away right away? Nope. Laban made him work 6 more years for his livestock that was already here. So there was a big sacrifice in Jacob's life. He had to make a sacrifice. You know what? There's going to be a sacrifice for us. If we don't serve the Lord, there's going to be a sacrifice. Jesus said that in order for us to serve him, to truly be his, he said we don't have to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him daily. You know, there's going to be things we want to do, but we can't do because we're going to have to make those sacrifices just so our friends and our family can see that there's something different about us so that they'll want what we have. So we have here these things that Jacob did. But I said all that to say this. You know, we need to serve the Lord with gladness, come before him with thanksgiving. Now I want to look at a contrast, and there is a big difference between Jacob and the one we serve. But as I read this week, I couldn't help but think about Jesus. You know, Jesus, he came to this earth, he came searching. The Bible says, Jesus actually said, for I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Zacchaeus, we know he was short in stature or small in stature. The Bible says that he climbed a sycamore tree so that he could get a glimpse of Jesus. Jesus went searching for Zacchaeus because he knew what tree to look up to see him. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. And Zacchaeus told Jesus, I'm going to give all the poor and all this stuff. And he said, salvation's coming to your house today. Jesus came searching. Like Jacob, Jesus was searching, but you know what? Jesus came searching for lost souls. Aren't you glad of that tonight, that Jesus came searching for lost souls? 1 Timothy says, chapter 1, verse 15 said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul's saying that. I'm sorry, Peter's saying that. Paul, I was right. Okay, sorry. Working. Jesus also worked while he was here. I talked about how that Jacob was a mama's boy. Jesus was the complete opposite. He was his father's son. He was 12 years old. He was found in a temple. You know, Mary and Joseph had 2 or 3 days' journey. They had to come back, and they were wondering what Jesus was doing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business? While on this earth, Jesus went to spread the gospel, and Jesus went in all of Galilee teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel. The kingdom is at hand, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. He was here to heal the sick. He healed the blind man by spitting on the ground and then making a little clay or spittle and anointing the man's eyes, and he was made to see. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter. He healed the woman with the issue of blood. So Jesus, he was busy when he was here. He just wasn't sitting on his bottom, if you will. He was busy about the Father's business. Matthew, he was also preparing others. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So, you know, Jesus didn't just do it up until he was ready to stop. He did it to the very end. That's right before he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. He told them, "I've shown you what to do." You know, he showed us what to do. We had the Bible. And, you know, sometimes we're too lazy to read it. Sometimes we're too lazy to tell that loved one about the Lord. But Jesus was not. So he worked. And like Jacob, he had to make he made sacrifices. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Philippians 2:6 says, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of a cross." Jesus gave himself freely. Isaiah said that he was beaten beyond recognition. They couldn't even tell him. It said his visage was not even that of a man. So what sacrifices are we making tonight? Are we reading our Bible like we're supposed to? Are we praying like we're supposed to? Are we telling others? Or we're so busy with our lives that we can't do that? Are we saying, "Oh, I'll read my Bible once the Hornets get done playing. I'll go visit or tell someone about Jesus once I get done playing golf, or once I get done watching this next episode." You know, we're bad now about we'll binge watch shows, and that becomes our more important thing. Are we making those sacrifices? Are we tithing like we should? Are we attending church like we should? Are we going to Sunday school like we should? Wednesday night service, Sunday night service. Are we doing those things? Have we lost our first love? You know, because when we first got saved, we're all excited. We want to be in everything that the church has to offer. But at times, you know, it seems like the excitement might wear off, and we have to be careful of that. We want to always be excited. Sunday night during the Super Bowl, those people at that game, they were excited. You know, and I read a story. There's these three or four old men. They have been to all 60 Super Bowls. Boy, that's commitment right there. They think this is going to be the last one because, you know, they're really old now. But to be that committed that they didn't miss not one of them in 60 years. You know, are we that committed to the Lord? Are we making that sacrifice? With this, I want you to think about this. We never hear or see Jesus complain about this work. He knew we were going to be scums. He knew we were going to betray him. I mean, all the examples in the Bible, even before Jesus was born. Moses told him, "Lord, you don't want me. You better get Aaron. I can't be a speaker." On the cross, you know, he was dying on the cross. He asked Jesus to forgive them because they knew not what they do. He even saved one of them over there beside him being crucified. Never complained. Jacob loved Rachel like we love our wives. The ladies in here love their husbands. We love our children. We would do anything in the world for our spouse and our children. There's no question. We would take our hearts out of our bodies and give it to them. If we could, if it was medically possible, if something was truly wrong with them and we knew that could save their lives. But we don't care enough sometimes to bring them to church, tell them about the Lord, read the Bible, be that witness. But Jesus did. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And as I just said, you know what? Jesus did that before we were saved. He did that when we were doing things we had no business doing, when we were acting like just fools, nuts, saying things we shouldn't say, hating people for no reason. But Jesus did it for us. He loved us enough. He made that sacrifice. He didn't have to leave heaven. He was there. He had it all. I'm sure if God would have said, Jesus, this is what I want it to be. What do you think? He could have said no, but he didn't. Because he knew in 2026 there was going to be a group of people in Lancaster that was going to need a Savior, that was going to need help. We still need him, whether we realize it or not. You know, our lives are so much easier than they were 20, 30 years ago. We're just so blessed. And, you know, I think sometimes that we become so blessed, we get so used to his blessings that we think, I can do without it. I'll pray later. That's one of our big things. I'll pray later, or the preacher shoots that text through. It says, pray for Miss Sandy. Lord, help Sandy. We don't think nothing else about it. You know, that's the extent of our prayer till it's at our door. But today, tonight, as you stand, Ralph, you can come play softly. I want you to think about that. No greater love. He gave his life for us when we were still his enemy. We didn't care anything about him. When we mess up tomorrow, he still gave his life for us. Lord, I thank you. God.